Okay, we're at the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph 37a. The Gemara wants to understand the Machlokes, the Tana Kama, and Rebbe Eliezer regarding Chodosh. Statement one. Okay? The Gemara had two suggested ways of learning, either to say that the Tana Kama is lenient and says that only two mitzvahs of the land apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, Orlin Kilayim, and not Chodosh. Comes Rebbe Eliezer and is strict and say, no, it even Chodosh applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. Or there's another way to say that the first opinion was the strict opinion and Rebbe Eliezer was the lenient opinion. The Gemara is going to prove the first way, that the Tana Kama is the lenient opinion and Rebbe Eliezer is the strict opinion. How do they know that? Because Abaye said, who is the Tana Kama? And he said the Tana Kama is Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael was involved in a brisa that Rabbi Yishmael was arguing on Rabbi Akiva regarding the wine libations in Eretz Yisrael of a private person, or the fact that you have to have wine libations coupled together with animal offerings in Eretz Yisrael, with an Ola and a Shlomim. And Rabbi Shmuel said, the fact that it says Moshav, wherever it says Moshav, it only means after the inheritance of the land. If you recall, where it talked about, it said, after you come into the land, you'll have to bring Nesachim. You have to bring Nesachim. And it talks about in all your, in your inhabited places, in your Moshavim. But he says Moshavim is only telling you after you've settled in the land of Israel and not everywhere in the world. Well, Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva is going to argue. Rabbi Akiva says, no, what do you mean? It should mean everywhere else in the world. And to which, so once Rabbi Shmuel says, whenever it says Moshav, it just means after the settlement of the land, that means it does not apply outside the land of Israel. So therefore, Chodosh is going to have the same rule that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael because Moshav is only telling you after you've settled the land. And then if that's the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shmuel, then Rabbi Lazar argues and says, no, it applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael. That was the basic proof they're bringing from the Braisa that Rabbi Shmuel held by this idea of bringing the Nesachim afterwards. The Nesachim only applied to group Nesachim and not to private Nesachim. And therefore it only applies, the word Moshav only applies to say after you have inhabited the land, where you're inhabiting the land, that's where you will bring the Nesachim. Now, Rabbi Akiva had asked a question on him. You mean wherever it says Moshav, it should be the opposite. When it says Moshav, it should mean even outside of Israel. He brought a proof from Shabbos. Remember a proof from Shabbos? You keep Shabbos all the Moshav. And Shabbos is everywhere. So shouldn't it, when it says Moshav, mean everywhere? Not like you're saying? To which Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yishmael answered, no, Shabbos applies everywhere, not because of the word Moshav, but because of a Kal Vachomer. Other lesser mitzvahs apply everywhere in the world, so Shabbos will apply, is stricter, should apply everywhere in the world. It's not because of the word Moshav, so there's no proof from that. Okay, so what do we have?
What does he do with it?
What does he do with it? That the pasuk says wherever you live, that's all. You know, because Shabbos is everywhere else. All right, I don't know what he's going to do with Bechol. You know, that's not what it's teaching us. Because we would know. I mean, first of all, let's go to a, I don't know why they didn't give a simpler answer. Is Shabbos a mitzvah of the land or a mitzvah of the body? It's the body. So of course, a mitzvah of the body you do everywhere.
No, I agree with you.
So I don't know. I don't know what Bechol Moshav Seichem means. You know, I mean, there's all kind, you know, there'll be another interpretation, but it can't be that it's coming to tell you it's in every land. That it can't be telling you, because we know that without a pasuk it has to be everywhere. It's obvious. Other mitzvahs are everywhere, and there's a much more important mitzvah of the body is everywhere. What are you going to do with it? Find something else for it. Okay. So basically, Rabbi Shmuel, in the case of wine, okay, by Nesachim, he is saying it. The words Moshav Seichem apply only after the conquest. Here's the critical point. What does Rabbi Shmuel do in that braisa? He says Nesachim We only learn about Nesachim, not everywhere you want. It's just after the conquest, finished. So if he learns, when it says Moshav, it means after the conquest by wine, we should reasonably assume when we talk about Chadash, when it says Moshav as well, it means only after the conquest and not beyond Eretz Yisrael, to which Rabbi Eliezer will argue and say, no, Chadash applies even beyond Eretz Yisrael. Okay? We have to have that point before we go further. Because we're just gonna continue from that point. So don't check your head and say you agree if you don't understand it. Got it clear. Okay? Again, this is the point. It says, the critical word is Moshav, Moshvo Sechem, your inhabiting place, which it says by Chodosh. So we are saying that the Tanakhama says Chodosh only applies in Eretz Yisrael, even though it says Moshav, but Moshav only applies after you've conquered the land and you live in Israel. Finish. Rabbi Eliezer is going to argue and says, no, Moshav means everywhere. So Chodosh everywhere. How do we know the first one, Rabbi Shmuel, says that Moshav means only after conquest? Because it says the same thing by wine libations. By wine libations, where it says, in all your places, by wine libations, it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, not in Eretz Yisrael. So this is the Abaye's linkage. You have Rabbi Shmuel of Brisa here. You have a Bryce, our Mishnah, with a no-name Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer. Abai is saying, take Rabbi Shmuel here and plug him in over here as the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shmuel over here by wine libation says when it says Moshav, it only means after the conquest of Israel and not beyond that. We're going to say Rabbi Shmuel is the Tanakhama here. By Chodesh, where it says Moshvo Seichem, it means only after the conquest, not everywhere else. And Rabbi Eliezer is going to argue on that. So now the Gemara is going to say, that's very nice what you're saying, Abaye, but, you know, I don't know if the case of wine libations is similar to the case of Chodesh. Because you look at the Pesukim, you'll see slight differences, or at least regarding Shabbos. So let's see. Gemara is not going to ask a question on Abaye. Gemara says, so Gemara concluded, Shema Mina, this is just the end, we didn't say those two words. Indeed, we learned that Rabbi Eliezer rules stringently and prohibits Chodesh even outside of Israel. That's what we wanted to conclude. Fine. Now the Gemara is going to go back and say, wait a minute, let's go back to that Rabbi Shmuel and that Bryce and let's get it clear. Michti, let's see. Rabbi Shmuel Ahechikoi, what's Rabbi Shmuel going on exactly when he says that dwellings always means Eretz Yisrael after its settlement? You tell me. He said whenever it says dwellings, it means in Eretz Yisrael after settlement only. Okay, and he's sitting, and what's he talking about? He's talking about Nesachim, wine libations. So let's carefully look at the Pesukim with wine libations for a minute. He said it on Nesachim regarding wine libations. Now, Nesachim, but regarding wine libations, it's a very unique situation. We're turning up to the top of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis now. Now, Umar is getting a little picky over here, as you'll see in a minute. It says, whenever it says Moshav, it means in Eretz Yisrael after the conquest. But let's look carefully. Come on. Okay. If you look over there, Bia Umoshav Ksiv Baho. It doesn't only say dwelling places. It also says Bia. It says two expressions over there. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel wants to say a rule. He makes a rule from wine. He says, wherever it says Moshav, it means after the conquest. Wherever you look in the Torah, it says Moshav. It doesn't mean everywhere in the world. It means after the conquest in Israel. But wait a minute. Let's look at your source. Your source is wine libations. Well, wine libations, there is a little clause said at the beginning of the whole section of wine libations before we came to the word Moshav. Because why it says, when you come into the land, it prefaced that section and says, when you come into the land and you bring a korban, an ola, ushlamim, blah, 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 you will give wine libation and we do it in all in your inhabitations. So here when it says Moshav Seichem, it's prefaced when you come into the land. So maybe only when there's a section that's prefaced when you come into the land, and then has the word afterwards, Moshav, your habitations, well, we'll link it. What it means, inhabitations means after you've come into the land and you've conquered the land. But what about where it doesn't start off by saying when you come into the land? What about if it just says wherever you live? How do I know it means after you conquer the land? It wasn't prefaced by a clause when you will enter the land. Rabbi Yishmael made a rule. He said, look by wine libations. Wine libations, it says where you're living. Well, don't make a mistake. It means everywhere. No. It means only after they conquered the land. Now you see, wherever in the whole Torah, when it says in your habitations, it means only after you conquered the land. So the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? By wine libations, there's a clause that prefaces it. It says, when you come into the land, blah, 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 in all the places where you live. So I understand, where you live after you've preceded it with a clause, when you enter the land. So it means where you inhabit is after you conquer the land. But how about other places in the Torah where it doesn't precede with when you come into the land and says in all your habitations? How could I extrapolate there? It only means after you've conquered the land. That's what the Gemara asks. Let's take another look at the notes. Let's read it again. Rabbi Shmuel's proof is from the verse regarding libations, which says, it says together, Kisavo el Eretz, when you come into the land, Moshvo Sechem, of your dwellings. It's right there. Moshvo Sechem, it's mamish right away. It says, when you come into the land. But this verse explicitly speaks of coming, when you come to the land, and dwelling of your dwellings. Perhaps it's only the combination of coming and dwelling that denotes Eretz Yisrael after its settlement. But dwelling alone doesn't? That could mean the entire world. So how does Rabbi Shmuel get this line to say whenever it says Moshav, it only means after you conquer the land of Israel? To which Rabbi Yishmael is going to be forced to compromise his statement. He's going to have to modify it.
Rabbi Shmuel is saying, whether it says coming in the land or not, it always means...
Well, that's what we thought he said. That's what we thought he said. And we're asking, well, I don't see if that's fair, because by libation, it starts with the words you come in. How can you stop everything else? So now, Rabbi Shmuel's going to have to modify his rule slightly. Hachi kamar? No, this is what he meant to say. He meant to say like this. Lalame te teach you shekol makam shenemar biya umoshav. We have to modify. Whenever it says, yes, coming and Moshav, that's when Moshav means after you conquer the land. And it doesn't mean the entire world. But you're right. If it doesn't say Bia first, coming, and only says Moshav, you remember Shmuel say it applies to the whole world. So we just modified the statement. In other words, Shmuel is now saying, when it says, when you come into the land, and dwellings, then dwellings only means after you have inhabited the land in Israel. That's it. But you're right. If there's no preface of coming into the land, he'll agree. When it says Moshav, it means the entire world. We're just amending what we thought he said. You follow? We thought he said, whenever it says Moshav, it means always only in Israel, forget anyone else. And they said, how can you say that? By Nesach, by libation, it's preface when you come into the land. So okay, I'll modify this. I'll modify what he meant. He meant when it's prefaced by coming, and then it says Moshav, it means only in Eretz Yisrael. You're right. Anywhere else where it says Moshav, it means the entire world.
And how does that tie into Chadash?
Oh, wait a second. So now it's very good. Because Chadash also is prefaced when you come into the land. You have to keep Chadash b'chol Moshav Sechem. So it's still a good teaching from the Braisa to the Mishnah, because Chadash happens to start with when you come into the land also. According to Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Eliezer argues on him though. It's a machlokes, but we at least have the opinions clear now. So Rabbi Yishmael is saying, listen, if it prefaces the word coming in, and it says wherever you live, it only means in the land of Israel after you settle it. That's the way Rabbi Eliezer learns it. Others argue. Rabbi Akiva argues. People are arguing on Rabbi Yishmael's statement. So Rabbi Eliezer will also disagree and say, no, I disagree. Even if it starts with coming into the land, as I'm saying, still it applies to the entire world. That's the machlokas. He says, wait a minute. If now you've modified his statement here, we've modified it now. So what's Rabbi Yishmael say? When it says when you come into the land, and then Moshav, that's when it means only Eretz Yisrael. Now, what did Rabbi Akiva ask on him? He said, wait a minute, what about Shabbos? Shabbos says wherever you live. Right? Remember the question? Now, how did he have to answer? He answered with a kal v'chomer. He didn't get it. He had no, he said, well, it's a kal v'chomer. But wait a minute. By Shabbos, does it say when you enter the land? No. So it doesn't say when you enter the land. So what's your question, Rabbi Yishmael? It doesn't say when you enter the land. So of course, when it says Moshav, then Rabbi Yishmael agrees. It means everywhere. Rabbi Akiva was trying to refute Rabbi Yishmael, right? Rabbi Yishmael says, it says Moshav, it means after conquest. Doesn't mean everywhere. So Rabbi Akiva said, wait a minute, Shabbos says Moshav, and we know it means everywhere. Oh, you see, Moshav's not like that. So what did he have to answer? He didn't say, no, Moshav doesn't mean. He said, no, we have a Kal V'Chomer. Why did he answer him with a Kal V'Chomer? He could have said, listen, it doesn't say when you enter the land. That's what Gemara is asking now. If you're going to modify Rabbi Shmuel's statement, then he only thinks Moshav means after the conquest. It's when it's preceded with the word when you come into the land. So what was the question the Braisa asked? Amalur Rav Kiva. Rav Kiva asked him, Hare Shabbos, the number of Moshavos. By Shabbos it says Moshav. And how did Rabbi Shmuel answer? Varmalei Shabbos Kavachomer. He said Shabbos was an 8-4-2 argument. Why did he answer that? He should have answered, name Alei, let him say no. Ana B'Yamoshe Kavina. I only said it when it says when you come into the land first. So what are you asking me from Shabbos? Notes, if three, if what we have asserted is true, the Rishwal meant only that coming and dwelling in conjunction denote Eretz Yisrael after its settlement, then why did he have to resort to a Kal V'Chomer in order to deflect Rabbi Akiva's challenge from the law of Shabbos? Rishmal should have replied simply that he too agrees that dwellings in the concept of Shabbos denotes universal application since coming to the land is not written there. So Mar gives a typical Gemara answer. A typical Gemara answer. What's the answer? Chada v'od kamerle. He's saying, for one, and furthermore. In other words, the answer really is, you know what, the question's not even a question. Because, you know, it doesn't say coming into the land. But even with the way you're asking a question, I could answer you an additional answer. In other words, really, he had two answers. One was so obvious, and the second one is the less obvious. He meant to say, Chada, number one, your question's not a question. You like read in between the lines. Rabbi says, what about Shabbos? So the Bryce, remember, Bryce is our cryptic. Doesn't give you all the full discussion. Bryce only says more of the insights. So it's like this. Rabbi Shmuel says, in between the lines, Chada, number one, Dan Abiyah Moshe Kaimna. I only said my statement when it's prefaced by coming. So your question's not even a question. But even if, let's say, I didn't say it only when it's prefaced, I could answer you also the Ode, the Ka'amar, Tare Shabbos, and Meron Shabbos, even according to you, who says, well, Moshe should be enough to say it should have universal application, Shabbos Kal V'Chomer, Shabbos is a Kal V'Chomer anyway. In other words, you're right. He didn't need to give the Kal V'Chomer answer. He did it more. Even if you disagree with how I apply my universal rule, even according to you, it's not a question as there's a Kal V'Chomer anyway that knocks it off. You're right. He didn't need the Kal V'Chomer, but he used it as like a second answer. Like as a second answer. He could have said, listen, forget it. I only said my rule when it says coming and living. So your question is not a question. But even according to you, who thought I meant to say by living or whatever, it's not a question to begin with, because there's a Kal V'Chomer anyway. Out. Okay, so now we just have to clean up one more thing. So now the Gemara is going to ask. So what we've done is we have successfully identified the Tanakama of our Mishnah. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yishmael from this price over here. Rabbi Yishmael is saying, since it says, when you come into the land which you will dwell in, whenever it's following by coming in the land, it refers only to Eretz Yisrael. And that's going to be applied by Chodesh, because Chodesh also says, when you come into the land, and then says all your inhabitants, it means after you've conquered the land, and it doesn't mean beyond Eretz Yisrael. And that's clearly, the Tanakhama is Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Eliezer argues and says, no, even if it starts by saying, come into the land, it says all your inhabited places, it means everywhere in the world. And that is the Machlokas Mishnah. Now, where we got this all from, this Machlokas of this Braisa. So now Gemara just is cleaning up and say, well, what's the Machlokas really originating in? What is the root of the Machlokas? It can't only be applying the words of Moshav, which Gemara now asks. It's just like a finishing off question, as it were. We've done the main groundwork here. We've answered the main questions. In other words, just wants to satisfy us, you know, what more is involved in the Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in that Brisa over there. So Gemara asked, But my kamifluki, Borna wants to analyze the argument by wine libations with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. In other words, here's the question. Why does Rabbi Akiva not accept Rabbi Shmuel's argument that to you, remember he said, to you, lochem, when you come to the land of Hashem, that I am giving lochem to you. Remember the pasuk there says to you. Now Rabbi Yishmael learned, it's in the context of, written in the context of libations, limits those libations to communal bamas. Remember he said communal bamas. And explain as well that coming and dwelling in conjunction denote Eretz Yisrael after its settlement. Remember, Rabbi Yishmael was talking about only, the pasuk only talk about communal bamas. And communal bamas is the only thing that you can be bringing, and it's excluding private bamas. And therefore, coming and dwelling is said in conjunction with Eretz Yisrael after its settlement. Why didn't Rabbi Akiva like this? Nope. So he says, this was the difference. Bekirvu nesachim b'midbor kamifliki, because they had an argument whether individuals in the 40 years in the desert were able to bring libations or not. That was the original machlokas. It's rooted from that. The Jews were in the desert for 40 years. What did they do when they were in the desert for 40 years? Okay, let's take a look. Certainly libations were brought in the wilderness to accompany communal sacrifice, such as a daily tumid offering. We know there were libations in the, during the 40 years that the Jews were in the Mishkan in the desert. The question here is whether individual Ola and Shlomim offerings were accompanied by libations in the wilderness. How about if an individual brought a korban? Now when the Torah says when you come into the land of Israel, that's when you come to the land of Israel. But what happened before they came to the land? The Torah doesn't say anything. So what happened when the Jews were in the desert? Now we know there were communal offerings. And communal offerings always have to have libations. There's something to talk about. The Torah doesn't address individual libations in the desert. So what was the law? Depending on what the law was there, they'll help us explain what the psukim later on are saying. So Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Rabbi Shmuel, lo kirvu nesachim b'midbar. Rabbi Shmuel assumed individuals did not bring libations in the desert. Now what does that do? Now, I'll explain. It is assumed that when the Torah commands an individual to accompany his voluntary offerings, the Torah does say that verses we looked at, when an individual brings, right, with libations, when you come to the land of your dwellings, the reference is to an obligation that had not been hitherto applicable. In other words, it has to be telling us something when it says, when you come into the land. What does that mean? That means until you come to the land, there's no obligation. Now there is an obligation, right? When it turns out, when you come into the land, do this. So what does that mean? Well, until you came to the land, you didn't have to do it, right? Since Rabbi Shmuel holds that individuals did not bring libations in the wilderness at the tabernacle altar because you couldn't bring private. When we're in the desert, you weren't allowed to have private altars. Private altars were not allowed. So therefore, wine libations, they didn't bring them it did not bring libations in the wilderness at the altar. So now, what's the new obligation the Torah is telling you to do now? The new obligation being commanded in these verses might very well be the individual's bringing of libations at the communal altar. Indeed, Rabbi Shmuel sees this indicated in the words lachem, to you plural. That is, the individual accompanies the sacrifice with libations only in offering them at the communal altar, but not when offering them at a private bama. Accordingly, that's how he learns. He's saying an individual can only bring to a lochem, to you the plural, in the plural place of the communal altar. That's all. That's it. But beforehand, they couldn't. The insight is, beforehand, in the desert, they couldn't. You couldn't, an individual didn't bring it at all, period. The Torah is saying, now that you're coming into the land, as an individual, you can bring onto the communal altar. Accordingly, Rabbi Shmuel cannot take the impressions, your dwellings in that verse to denote anywhere that you dwell, because the only thing the Torah is allowing is an individual to now bring in the communal altar, which is not everywhere. Rather, he interprets your dwellings as settlement of the land. That is, the obligation of individual libations did not begin until after the land was settled. And even then, on the communal altar. In other words, Rishwal is saying, let's start from square one. Could an individual bring libations in the desert? He holds, no. Finished. Okay, so what happened? Only communal offerings. That's it. That's only libations. A private guy could not. Now, a private guy, what were his options even in the times of the desert? If any kind of korban, a private guy, where could he bring? Only one place, in the Mishkan. No private bamas weren't allowed. And he's saying, and now they brought an offering. Could an individual bring a libation? An individual could not bring a libation. Now the Torah is saying, now you're coming to Israel. Now Lachem, you can bring on a communal, bama, a communal, the temple, you could bring wine libations. Now, what's the Torah allowing? It was the public to do, the public could have done it all along. If it's a private individual, what it was saying, private individual, only in the public bama. That's what the Torah is teaching. So if it's the private individual, only in the public bama, so when it says in all your dwelling places, it can't mean wherever you want. It can only mean after the land was conquered. In other words, you have to start from step A to B to C. It starts from all, in the desert, could an individual bring a wine libation with his korban? Rishon said, no, they didn't. Now, that was his tradition, whatever. The Torah didn't talk about it, so we don't know. That's why it's open for speculation. We do know there were libations brought in the desert. The Torah says libations were brought in the desert in communal offerings. Now, the only place you could have ever brought any offerings was at the communal bum in the Mishkan. So, what if an individual brought a korban? You can bring a korban, you can't bring a libation. The Torah didn't say anything about individuals bringing libations yet. So now it says, now when you come into the land of Israel, something new is going to happen. The connotation, when you come to the land of Israel, now you're going to do this. It says, when God gives you lochem, to you the plural, we'll allow you to work, to do something at a public bama. Well, what can we allow you to do at a public bama regarding wine libations? It can't be communal offerings. They were allowed in the temple and during the desert. So what can be allowed that we're expecting you now to bring a wine libation? That which you couldn't do before. What was that? A private korban, a libation only in the public place. So when it says in all your dwellings, it can only mean after you conquer the land. It can't mean everywhere. That's how we came to that conclusion. So why is Rabbi Akiva arguing? Because Rabbi Akiva starts from a different beginning place. Rabbi Akiva suffer, no. Kirvun Asachim Bemidbar. Individuals could bring libations in the base of in the Mishkan. Well, if that's where it starts, now we've got to backtrack and say, well, then what's the Torah teaching us? If individuals were able to bring libations in the Mishkan, then what's the Torah telling us now? That when you come into the land of Israel, you're going to bring libations. What's it teaching you? Since Rabbi Akiva holds that individuals did accompany their sacrifices with libations in the wilderness at the tabernacle altar, the thrust of the chapter Numbers cannot be to extend that obligation to the communal altar upon entering Eretz Yisrael as Rabbi Shmuel, because we already know that. They already could have brought it, they brought it in the desert already. For that obligation had hitherto applicable in Rabbi Akiva's view. Love that word, hitherto. And there would have been no reason to think the obligation would be terminated. If Rabbi Akiva held that an individual brought a libation on the public bama, so what's the Torah saying when you come to the land of Israel? You're going to bring it on the public bama? You don't need the Torah to say that. Rather, the Torah must be commanding that upon entry to the land, libation should accompany an individual's sacrifices, even at private bamos. He says, even private bamos, a phenomenon that did not exist in the wilderness. Because you couldn't have a bama. So now he's saying private individuals could bring libations at private bamas. So now private bamas is not where, it's not in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not in the Mishkan. So where is it? It's somewhere else. So accordingly, Rabbi Akiva understands that this is indicating the expression, your dwellings, which is taken to denote wherever you live, meaning at any private bama and even after the land is settled. Thus, the Gemara has shown that the dispute between Rabbi Shmuel and Kiva about the meaning of the expression "your dwellings" results from a dispute of whether individual sacrifices were accompanied by a libation in the wilderness. Let's just repeat it one more time. We start from step one. Could individuals bring a libation in the Mishkan with their korbanos? Rabbi Shmuel said no. Rabbi Kiva said yes. Okay, wonderful. Now, the Torah then says, when you come into the land of Israel, Lachem, your group, you're coming in, you're going to bring libations. So Rabbi Shmuel says, well, that's very good. You couldn't bring libations before. Now you can bring libations. Where should you be able to bring libations? Only in the public bama. And therefore, where you live means after you settle the land. Rabbi Akiva says, wait a minute. Private libations were already permitted. So what's the Torah permitting now? What is left to permit? Meaning what? That you could bring the private libation at a private bama somewhere else. That's the machlokes. So now, if you can bring it somewhere else, well, how do you think you can bring it somewhere else? Because it says, b'chol moshe, wherever you live means somewhere else. So that's why they drew opposite conclusions how to learn the word moshav. Be that as it may, we've come to the conclusion that Rabbi Yishmael said, since it says, when you come into the land, followed by where you live, that's when it means after the settlement of the land of Israel, does not mean anywhere in the world. And Chadash works with the same equation. Chadash says when you come into the land, wherever you live, it means only in Israel after you've inhabited the land. Comes Rabbi Eliezer, he's stricter than him. He says, I don't agree with that position that you hold like. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rabbi Akiva in that way, but says no. He says it says wherever you live, and therefore Chadash applies outside of Eretz Yisrael. That now is the machlokas, and at that point is a good place to stop. All right, I think we got it pretty clear, and then the Gemara is going to give us alternative ways of discussing certain things. So we'll start that tomorrow. We're not up to the halacha yet. We gotta wait another couple days. I promise you we'll do it. Belineder, because I could forget. But we can't get the halacha till we get the Gemara absolutely clear yet. All we know now is there's a machlokes tanoim. That's all we know right now. Okay. There's an argument amongst the tanoim.
Thank you.
All right.